This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Up now, it will be the Nuggets and the Lakers, a rematch of the Western Conference Finals last season, starting up on Saturday with Game 1. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And I thought the Pelicans were going to pull this off, Angel, I really did. Zion Williamson was amazing, 40 points for him in that game, but he goes out at a critical time. And that was kind of the difference, I think, in the last, few minutes of that game. The Lakers held on. They get to the free throw line in key situations, and credit to them, man. They made the shots they needed to. D'Angelo Russell hits a key three-pointer late in that one with about 50 seconds left. That made it a four-point game. That was kind of it right there, because then you got into you're trading twos for fouls, and the Lakers were making their free throws. So First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Pretty simple Chipper's Lanes poll question of the day. Nuggets in 4, 5, 6, or 7? Angel, what's your, we'll probably get into more of our full-on prediction on Friday, but my gut today, it's fresh. My gut today says the Nuggets do sweep this thing.
My gut would probably say 5.
A gentleman's sweep.
Yes.
And listen, that's the more likely scenario. It's hard to sweep anybody in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm in between a sweep, a gentleman's sweep, or a six-game series.
Ooh, six-game series would be interesting. Mm-hmm. And we discussed this yesterday a lot. Like, hey, what if the Lakers win, why would they be a kind of a scary matchup for the Nuggets? It really doesn't have a lot to do with the personnel. The Nuggets at their best are way better than the Lakers at their best. Now, again, you could have issue. You could have maybe Porter's not hitting from three. Joker's having one of those weird nights where it just, like, the easiest shots he takes aren't going. We've seen, three games like that this year for Joker? You could have some of that. But as far as personnel matchups, I think the Nuggets are far and away better than this team. But we talked about the motivational factor. When you have a guy like LeBron James, who LeBron reminds me, again, this is not, it's a weird comparison, but I remember in the college football days with Tim Tebow, how they would always say he wills himself to the first down. He wills himself into the end zone. He does that. He just has this ability to drive that. LeBron James can take control like that. And that's what you have when a guy can score from all over the floor. So that was my only concern about the Lakers, is the embarrassment that they faced last year, losing 4-0. You don't want to go out like that ever. And then honestly, the fact that the Nuggets have owned them the last couple of seasons now. So, and every big night for the Lakers this year, Angel, opening night was the ring ceremony, the banner raising, the ring ceremony. The Nuggets win 119-107. On February 8th, it was Kobe statue night. Nuggets win 114-106. And then on 40,000 night for LeBron, the Nuggets win 124-114. So on every big stage that the Lakers are getting somewhat recognized in, even though the first game was the Nuggets night, but every big stage this year, the Nuggets have ultimately kind of ran away with it. 10-point games aren't necessarily blowouts, but that's kind of how it went. You didn't feel in doubt with the last 5 minutes of the game of these games. So you have to think that there's a, hey, they keep embarrassing us, they keep ruining our night. So I'm trying not to get too cocky here, because that's a realistic thing. But I don't see a scenario where the Lakers come out winning this series. Certainly not. I like I said, I like them to sweep. I don't think there's any chance that the Lakers can win this series.
Yeah, I'm trying to stifle the cockiness or the confidence a little bit, because if anything in sports, when you get on a streak of anything, you start to worry, okay, when's that streak going to break? You've won the last seven, eight games against this Lakers team. You start like, ugh, if they drop one, is that going to wake them up? Is that going to mess with their confidence? I don't know. The Lakers, you know, they've been, they had the daddy stuff in the offseason with the Malone is the Lakers' daddy, and then LeBron and AD's conversations that they had that was trying to fire back in the preseason, and then you come out opening night and get beat. And going back to the series last year, that was probably one of the more competitive series the Nuggets played, them and the Timberwolves and the Suns, I guess. But even the sweep didn't really feel like a sweep. It felt better because it was the Lakers, and it was the demon we finally exercised as Nuggets fans. And to where it's like, yeah, we want to be cocky, but also let's not think that, oh, this is just a pushover type of series.
Yeah, and that, see, that's where I'm like, I've never been to this point with the Nuggets, so my arrogance level is pretty high up there. I guess I'm of that mindset. You're the champs. You have the best player in the world. Go act like it. And if they don't for some reason, then it would be a major letdown. We're talking a letdown of epic proportions for the Nuggets. So there's pressure to not lose to a lesser team. And it's LeBron. I get it. But LeBron's not the same LeBron. He has the game still where he can just flat out go off. But even in this game, you know, 6 of 20, 23 points, perfect from the free throw line. It was the rest of the team that really lifted him up. I don't see how Russell and or Reeves mixed in are going to be much of a combo for the Nuggets at this stage. Those two guys are key because the Nuggets will be focusing, obviously, on how do we slow down LeBron? How do we make sure Anthony Davis does not destroy our lives in the paint? So it's these other guys that are going to have to come up big. And I don't think they have the dogs. I really don't. Anthony Davis is still scary. He had 20 points last night. He has the capability to go off for 40. He still has that. There's no question. But I'm having a hard time seeing it. I'm watching the game last night. It turned out to be a really great game. It was a really fun game. Fun finish. It was the Pelicans ran the show in the first. The Lakers came back, and they started to dominate going into the half. It looked like the Lakers might pull away. Pelicans kept fighting. Zion just goes off for 40 points. And you had a lot of guys that were contributing for the Pelicans. Jones hitting a couple of key threes for him, too. But at the end of the day, I'm watching going, I don't see either one of these guys being able to put up much of a fight against the Nuggets. So I was feeling my confidence was building as this game was progressing.
Yeah, and obviously the motivation is going to be different from a play-in game versus round one of the Western Conference playoffs. And it's not a win or go home type of game, but there is a little pressure like, oh, we don't want to have to play another game. We want to make sure we can get some rest throughout the week, especially with AD and the back stuff. But, you know, this Nuggets team, it was nice to get Murray in late in the season, get him some game minutes, but now you can rest, refocus, and for Malone, it's finding that motivational factor where it's maybe, hey, we've been beating this team a lot in the last couple of years. We need to keep that going. Let's not get complacent in, oh, we beat them the last eight times.
You have something special in front of you here. You know, when Malone had a couple, few too many Mai Tais, or what did Sean Payton say, mochaccinos or whatever, in Malone saying at the parade, hey, dynasty, dynasty, dynasty. They are really, really dedicated and concerned with the fact that, you know, people are looking at them saying this was a one-off championship. It was a down year. There were a lot of key injuries. This is like the Nuggets feel like they have to go prove it again. Even though they're the champs, they have been written off a lot. Now, again, to give national media their credit, there are a lot of national media members that say the Nuggets are the team to beat. There was a national rhetoric, I guess, throughout the week or the first part of the week that the Lakers might try to lose to the Pelicans on purpose so that they could avoid playing the Nuggets. And so that is a respect factor that the Nuggets are getting. However, I still think a lot of people throughout the course of the season were looking for reasons to say the Nuggets aren't really that great. But Denver maintained pretty much a top three spot throughout the course of the season, and so it was difficult to ignore. I still think there's a giant chip on their shoulders. I think Jamal Murray lives with a chip on his shoulder, And I think there's a part of Michael Malone that kind of does too. I think he carries that. Can you use that as that motivation to say, we don't want to be the Toronto Raptors of what, 4 years ago? Five years ago.
Yes.
We want to be the next dynasty. We want to be the first team to repeat since the Golden State Warriors did it, however many years ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah, so you have big plans on your mind. So toying around with this Lakers team that you're way better than, I just don't think is on the menu for this Nuggets team. I wouldn't be shocked if game one, monster blowout. Just absolute annihilation of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and this is, as we talked a lot about last year, kind of exercising the demon of the Lakers in the playoffs, at least. Go back to 2008 when they first met in the first round. The Lakers swept that series. 2009, they meet up again in the Western Conference Finals. That series goes to six games. Lakers end up winning it. But it was because you were able to win that next series the year after to where it became, okay, the Lakers don't see the Nuggets as a rival. The Nuggets fans, we do see them as a rival because they beat us 2 years in a row.
I would imagine Lakers fans are starting to feel that rivalry thing now. They're starting to feel it. Nuggets were pesky. You know, in the Nuggets history, it was always the Lakers in front of them. And that's what's really special about, I think, the mini rivalry or whatever you want to call it. Every Western Conference Finals, the Lakers were the ones there to shut the Nuggets out. Go back to the Alex English days. Go back to the Carmelo Anthony days. Go back to the bubble. It was the Lakers.
2012 first round. That was a seven-game series.
Yeah. And that was, again, that was like the Carmelo stuff and all that. Or no, that was after Carmelo, wasn't it? Yeah. That was with the Danilo Gallinari and all that jazz. Good roster. But it's always been the Lakers. And for the Nuggets to finally get over that last year, in the way they did, with the who's your daddy, with the Malone stuff, a little trash talk, I would imagine Lakers fans are feeling it a little bit. I would. I think that they're viewing this Nuggets team as, okay, this is a pesky new rival in our history. We got to try to shut them up. But I also think that Lakers fans are kind of like, it would be awesome if we win, but maybe there's a part of us that if we lose, good, because we can move on from Darvin Ham. I don't think Lakers fans like Darvin Ham.
Yeah, and it's that weird balance as a sports fan where it's, oh, we're in the playoffs. That means we have a 1 in 16 chance to win it all. And if we beat the defending champs, that's probably good. But also, yeah, we're not going to, you know, LeBron's going to only be here another few years. Anthony Davis, how can he hold up? What's the next core of this team going to look like? And is Ham going to be a part of it?
Dixon texting in, as is always the case with the Lakers, you get worried about the whistle and the fact that ESPN and TV and the league like it when LeBron is still in the mix. Again, how much do you want to subscribe to all of that stuff? It just depends.
We dealt with that in the playoffs last year.
You already. Let me ask this question. Are the Lakers better than they were last year, Angel?
They were still in the play-in last year. So I'm going to say they're probably about the same, maybe a game or two better because Davis has been healthier.
Yeah, I mean, you had Anthony Davis, obviously where he was, LeBron James, Russell Reeves. You had Schroeder last year for the Lakers. And in this case, it's the same. It's pretty much the same cast, but you have Hachimura has really been the starter throughout the course of the year. So that's been the big deal for them. But it's almost the same. As far as the starters go, it's very similar.
Yeah, and then you say the same thing for the Nuggets outside of their bench unit, who only lost real one contributor Bruce Brown.
Yep.
And the stats will tell you the bench this year is better than last year. Bruce kind of turned it on in the playoffs, and maybe that blinds us a little bit because it's like, wow, Bruce was great. He wasn't that great all season long.
Yeah, Bruce was, to be fair, Bruce was a fine player throughout the regular season. He was a fine bench guy. So was Christian. That was, you know, we had his moments, but we were still very concerned. And then it was in the playoffs when both of those guys just took off. So are we going to get something like that with Peyton Watson in these playoffs? Reggie Jackson is steady Eddie. He's been overall, Reggie's numbers and production were better in the regular season than what Bruce's were. Is that, you worry about the opposite effect here, but I do think that going in, are you stronger than this time last year before game one of the playoffs against Minnesota? We were like, that bench unit, yikes. Are we saying the exact same thing, or do we feel a little bit better or worse about the bench unit right now?
I feel better about the bench since the All-Star break.
I do, too.
I think since you've narrowed down your four guys, or at least 3 to 4 guys, you feel good about who they are. Christian Brown's going to have his minutes. Peyton's going to get his, even though he's still a little raw, and will get his first playoff experience. Reggie, like you said, is going to be that steady veteran out there that can run the floor, but also look for a guy like Drew Holiday, or Justin Holiday. Earn some playing time in this first round before you cut it down to 7 or 8.
He's kind of been the guy that we've talked about being, I don't know if you want to say an X factor, but when he's on the floor, he just does all the right things. He makes all the smart decisions. Yeah. So, again, I'm not talking about how did you feel about the bench unit once the playoffs started compared to now. I'm talking about right before game one, we were like, yikes.
That was the concern all year because it was the non-Jokic minutes. I hate that term that always gets...
It's
like
the
backpack with the Nuggets is the non-Jokic
minutes. It's still there, though. I mean, that's a reality with this team.
But Jokic is playing 40-plus minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he'll play that. I think he's going to raise his level. People think that's crazy to say because what else is there?
He did it last year.
He did it last year, man.
Go watch playoff highlights. You will see a different.
It's a different
angry
dude.
Jokic.
Dude, this guy's just. I think he gets a percentage better. Like maybe just 0.001 percentage better, percent better every game. I believe that. This guy is a student of the game. He goes and upgrades as soon as the game's over. It's like a video game. He goes and finds the little upgrades and then boom, 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 mentally, physically, whatever. I'm telling you guys right now, get ready for a freaking show. He's dominated.
Been in the pool all week. He's gonna be ready.
He's been in the pool. Porter's been getting sun. Although we did get some interesting news about his brother today, and we'll get to that with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is the simple fact that we know who the Nuggets are playing. Got the Lakers. And you've ran the show against this team. You whooped up on them throughout the course of the season. I'll read some text here. No, that's not true. I'll read it, though. Bad, Rockies lost. Didn't watch.
Scoreless.
I just watched the play-in. We're gonna get through the week without another series win, Angel. And then the pressure's on. Can the Rockies win a series in the month of April? They have a game tonight, which will be right here on KFK. I think coverage starts at 3:30. And then they're off tomorrow. And we'll see. Is it Seattle next? Or
yes.
Okay. It's getting bad. What are they? 3-13? 14? Something? Teens?
Not great.
Not great. Not good. Not good at all. Ugly. Was the story that just came out right before we jumped on the air. Michael Porter's brother, Jonte Porter, has been banned by the NBA. After the investigation revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. Yikes. This is awful. Obviously for the Porter family, this is not good for the NBA. It goes back to the referee. Names are eluding me this week, Angel. But the referee, the guy from early 2000s, late 2000s, whatever that was, cannot think of his name right off the top of my head. But this reminds me of that time where it was one guy,
Donaghy.
Yeah, I mean, I should know this.
You watched the movie.
I watched the documentary. Names are tough, Angel. I'm a good face guy, but names are a struggle. Does this open the floodgates? I'm just going to say the tough part out loud. You're telling me Jonte Porter's the only one between the NBA/G League guys that has done this before? With gambling going absolutely crazy? In our country, you're telling me that Jonte Porter's the only one?
I mean, how many players in the NFL did we see last preseason?
At least 20, right?
That got some kind of suspension or fine about this. Shohei Ohtani story that's still out there and still trying to wrap itself up. That's a huge story. This is Jonte Porter. He's not a household name in the NBA, but he's related to one. And it's a big deal because it's not only betting on yourself, taking yourself out of games so you can cover bets, but also giving inside information to bettors.
Yeah, you mean to tell me that's not happening at all with anybody else?
Yeah, it's as easy as saying, you know, LeBron James has a friend and say, yeah, I'm gonna go under 25 tonight.
Yeah.
Take the under on 25.
Right. There's just, and again, not saying LeBron would do that, but there are players that are maybe tweener guys that in the regular season, in the dog days of the regular season, they know that this is their last year in the league. They're not good enough. Let's make the best of it. You can put a prop bet on pretty much anybody that's active, right?
Yep.
So, hey, Billy, why don't you place $20K on me to, you know, go under that? What's stopping you? What's stopping a player from telling their best friend that?
You know, well, you win your bet, we'll go to Sizzlers afterwards and have a nice meal.
I mean, if I were Jontay Porter, I'd do it a little bit more. Like, I'll take all the unders. I'm just going to go in and play tough defense, and I'm going to pass. Like, I'm not taking shots. But it was so obvious because the games that were in question, you go back to every single game they investigated, and he was pulling himself out.
Coach, my eye hurts.
Eyeball.
My elbow is in pain.
I got a contusion, something or another. Doctor says, you seem fine. Yeah, but you can't. You can't tell
I
what
know
I'm
my
feeling.
Body better than you,
I know my body. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. Flying Dutchman going after Dixon today. Tell Dixon he can pick up his tinfoil hat at Chuck E. Cheese's. I get so tired of these referee conspiracy theories. You're kind of a conspiracy guy, Angel.
A little bit. More sports.
How can you not be a little bit of a conspiracy person after what I just read to you?
It's LeBron James. He's going to get foul calls at the rim. That's just going
we
to happen.
We know the league does that. You know, the Donaghy documentary told us that there are absolutely referees that, or they were told by the NBA, there are guys that you need to officiate differently. That is a fact of life.
We talk about it on the other side with Jokic, how he doesn't get enough calls.
Right.
His arms are scratched up like a mountain lion and nothing.
Flying Dutchman says, last night's Pelicans pick further proved when it comes to LeBron, Brady can't be objective. Dude, Zion, if he doesn't go out of that game, Pelicans are winning that game. So I would have been right. We'll never know, but I would have been right. The Pelicans were red hot. The Lakers had zero answers for Zion, and then he just comes down awkwardly, has to take himself out of the game in the most critical situation of the season for the Pelicans, and that's it. And they still fought back and kept tying the game. I can be objective when it comes to LeBron. I've picked the Lakers to win a ton of games this year. I just thought the Pelicans would take care of business at home. They hate Anthony Davis, and they'd get the win. And it looked good in the first quarter, and it looked good in the fourth quarter until Zion goes down. Maybe he can give me whether or not the Sixers will cover 5 points against the Heat tonight. You're on the Heat, right?
I am.
I took the Sixers to cover. So that's what I'm saying. What's the spread now? Five? Yeah, I'll take the Sixers. Does Bud Black make it to the All-Star break? Texter.
Does he make it to June?
Does he make it to tomorrow?
Does he make it on the plane back from Philadelphia?
Does he make it?
Does he make it to the ballpark this afternoon?
Does he even get out of town, man? I don't know. It's bad. It's. Have you done a friendship check on Tanner, by the way? How's he doing?
I'm going to say not well. I don't think we did a Rockies update today. He watched the Rockies game last night instead of playing basketball.
What? Why? What is wrong with this human being?
And then played virtual baseball to get his feelings out.
You know what it reminds me of in The Office with Dwight when he plays Second Life?
Yes.
And he's like, back then my life was so good I literally wanted a new one. But now he's depressed so he just keeps playing Second Life.
Wait, and you're also a salesman in this?
Except for I can fly. That Tanner Schwint is now Dwight in that episode of Second Life. He has created, oh, the Rockies are so bad, I'm so depressed, I'm going to go create my own misery virtually as well. Poor dude, man. That's a rough look.
It'd be tough to play virtual Rockies baseball.
I can't imagine. If he picked the Rockies to be his team, then...
Well, he did.
Then there's something seriously up with that guy.
We got to talk to him. We need to have like an intervention for him. Listen, I've been there before. I was younger, though. You know, when the Nuggets were just awful, it was so bad, but I was a young guy. When Melo got to Denver, I was a freshman in high school. I started taking sports a lot more seriously, started getting into it a lot more. I started, you know, getting really sad after losses. When I was like 10 years old, oh, that's too bad. I'm going to go do something else, man. You know, but Tanner's a grown man, and he's putting himself through this. That's a rough go. It's a rough one. Dixon says, hey, I am a ref, so I hate the conspiracy stuff. But if you don't think LeBron gets the benefit of the whistle and that it doesn't affect the games, you are burying your head in the sand. Listen, he does get the calls. He does.
On most levels of basketball, officiating is pretty fair. But in the NBA, it's just different.
Yeah.
You're dealing with superstar, popular, face of the franchise type of player, not Jimmy, the sophomore.
Yeah, right. 31 minutes after the hour. I got Brian Howell going to join us. Let's talk some Buffs coming up next. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear from the legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I got Brian Howell coming up talking Buffs, but I do have Rams news here quickly. Neek Clifford posted this. I first and foremost want to thank God for everything he's put me through, a lot of that stuff. I also want to thank my coaches and teammates, a lot of that stuff. Finally, I want to thank CSU and our fans for always showing love. With that being said, that's like the thing, man. I will be entering my name in the 2024 NBA draft. Now, I'm trying to get some clarity here. Text Kevin Lytle. I said, okay, the way he phrased that, does it mean he can come back, or is he, like, it's official? Because the way I will be entering my name in the 2024 NBA draft, I thought it was a different way of saying things if you just said, I will be, what do they normally say, Angel? What did Isaiah Stevens say last year? I will be trying out.
Entering my name for consideration, yeah, while maintaining my eligibility.
Yes, that's normally what they say. So Kevin said he believes he can still return, but he said it's kind of vague. So when Kevin admits that it's kind of vague, I suppose it's up in the air. I have Nico Medved jumping on the show today. So we'll talk to him about that along with his contract extension. 36 minutes after the hour. What is going on in Boulder? We got players telling other players to DM him if they're in the transfer portal. We got Primetime saying where his sons and Travis Hunter can play. We got former five-star guys entering the portal. Brian Howell of Buff Zone is going to join us next, but first let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Ah! Oh.
All right, let's talk some. I like that, man. See, this is the Primetime's got style. He just has it. I know we've got drama, we've got questions, we've got all that stuff, but you can't deny that Coach Prime has style. Brian Howell has some style too. We need to get Brian his own walk-up theme music, man. Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Brian, my man, it's been too long. Appreciate you taking some time to chat with us.
No problem. It has been too long, and yes, I do need walk-up music.
What would you suggest for your walk-up song, Brian?
Ooh, I don't know. You can't put me on the spot like that.
That's a deep question. I'm going to let you think about it.
I will say, yeah, I've always loved Metallica.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm a Yankees fan, and so I always thought Mariano Rivera coming in to Enter Sandman was one of the coolest things ever.
All right, Angel's got his pen out. He is writing it on a notebook, or he could be pretending to write, Brian. I'm not sure, but I think we're going to get something cool for you next time out.
All right, sounds good.
Brian Howell joining us. Okay, we're in this day and age where transfer portal season is upon us, or spring transfer portal season. And to be fair, Brian, any name you see from pick a team, there's going to be a good chunk of fans going, what's going on over there? So I got to be that guy for you today, Brian. Cormani McClain enters the portal, former five-star recruit, and a few other guys. I got to ask the question, what's going on over there?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a fair question, you know, because a lot of times people just watch only their team. I know that's not you, but really what's going on is it's college football. It's college sports. And, you know, when these guys only have a short shelf life to play football or play their sport, they want to play. And if they don't see that opportunity where they're currently at, the system is set up to where they can just move wherever they want, whenever they want, you know. So you have guys, two more guys went in the portal today that both have only a year or two left of college. Neither one of them played a whole lot last year and probably don't see that opportunity now. So they're going somewhere else. And with Cormani, you know, it's just a case of if you listen to, you know, Coach Prime over the last year, he's been highly critical of Cormani. And, you know, he's mentioned several times, you know, I wish the kid would show up to meetings. I wish he'd show up to class. Wish he'd be on time to stuff. You know, wish I could get him to, you know, prepare better for practice and games. And that's not good, you know. And, you know, those types of things are going to limit your opportunities. And, you know, I think for Cormani, it was just kind of like, all right, I'm done with this, and let's get out of here.
Well, and I think that what you're telling us, Brian, I think is probably refreshing for some that think that, you know, primetime's all about the, you know, the fame, everything that goes into it. But this is a case, what you're telling us, this is a case of saying, hey, we got a guy on paper that looks like a superstar, but he's not doing the little things. He's not doing the hard work portion of this. And I think that's probably refreshing for some of those that are going, you know, kind of detractors against primetime.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I remember the only time I've ever really had a chance to meet with him one-on-one was when I went down to Atlanta for the Celebration Bowl in December 2022, his last game at Jackson. And he and I were talking about that. And he showed me how he gets on his phone, he gets weekly updates on the academics of the players. And he was telling me about a particular player on his defense. It was the starter. He goes, I had to send him home from Atlanta because his grades weren't good. And I said, you're not going to play in this game. And so I sent him home. And so, you know, this is a kid he would rather play. And they wound up losing that game and giving up probably too many points than they wanted, and they could have used him. So he doesn't tolerate that stuff. And, you know, with Cormani, I think he's probably a little tougher on a kid like that because Cormani plays the same position that Deion did, you know, and he's probably going to say, hey, I see this greatness in you, but you have to do these things to be a pro, and he's not doing those things.
You posted yesterday with this story, Brian. You said, hey, no surprise. So everything you're telling us probably led you to not be surprised by this. You kind of knew what Primetime wanted from McClain, and he obviously wasn't getting it. So that's why I think you put that out there and said, hey, I'm not shocked.
Yeah, and, you know, he hasn't been participating in spring ball. And, you know, we got to talk to the corners coach last Thursday, and I asked, I said, what's his status? And he said, well, he came back today to start running. He's not in football shape yet. So he hasn't even been participating this spring. And, you know, the Buffs have gone out and they've added some corners in the transfer portal. And, you know, frankly, they look pretty good at corner right now. And I think, you know, me and a colleague were talking about this the other day, that had Cormani stayed, I'm not sure he would have got on the field this year, because I'm not sure he could have beat out the guys that are currently there. So, you know, there's that aspect of it too, that, you know, he might not just be good enough quite yet to get on the field.
Well, talk to us about the rest of the guys too, Brian. I know that was the name. A lot of these other guys, though, it's the, as you mentioned, the guys today too, you're looking at going, hey, were they that big a contributor? So all in all, when you look at the names that did enter the portal, I think other than that name, the other ones aren't that big of a loss.
Yeah, there is one. The only one that I would say is Jaden Milliner-Jones, who's a safety, was a true freshman this last year. And that one really surprised me because he was a prime guy growing up, you know, from the Dallas area, and really looked good last year when he got a chance to play. He's just behind some veterans right now. And he's a guy that I thought, you can't keep this guy off the field this year, even with the veteran safeties they have. And so I was surprised by him. But other than that, really no surprises. And you know, again, you hate to say it like this, but
yeah.
It's come this way with football where it's just you got to flush through the players that aren't helping you and get the ones that can. Not a lot of losses. And Savion Washington was their starting right tackle last year, but as we know, they've gone out and, you know, recruited a whole bunch of transfer linemen. I'm not sure Savion would have had a starting job here this year.
So, Brian, what was it with Milner Jones on that side of it? Was there just a disagreement of philosophy or what?
I don't know on that one. That one, I'll be interested. We talk to Coach Prime tomorrow. That's the schedule, and I'm sure that question will come up. I'd be curious to know, and I'm not sure we'll find out. But that one really surprised me, just because I thought he was, you know, one of those key young players they really like, and so I'm not sure what's going on with that one.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Brian, it's so the primetime discussion is lightning in a bottle, man. It's so fun to talk about because to me, there's almost two different guys. There's the guy that you just told us about, the guy that's telling you, you know, talking about Kermani McClain and saying, hey, that's great that he's a five-star, but I want him to do little things. He's got to go to class. He's got to do this. That's all wholesome stuff. That's great. And then you see the podcast where Primetime's talking about, here's where my sons can play. Here's the six teams, including Travis Hunter. This is where they can go. You see, and I know this isn't Primetime, but you see Shiloh's tweet about defensive transfers and offensive transfers DMing. How do you separate the two guys? There's the guy that gets down and just puts his head down and works, and then there's Primetime. There's two different coaches here.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, I'll kind of go back to the story I wrote from my time down in Atlanta for the Celebration Bowl. You know, I remember maybe the sports information director down there was telling me that they go hand in hand, those two primes. He said, you couldn't have the flash if you didn't have the grind and the hardworking guy that, you know, earned the flash, right? And so I think for Coach Prime, it's that, you know, you got to do all these little detail things so that you can be in positions where you can pick where you get to play and where you can, you know, be in the draft and things like that. And so I think they go hand in hand, and he just understands the whole process from the grind to then the shine.
Well, I think that's a great point. Love him or hate him, he is a businessman. I mean, he knows how to build up whatever it is he's doing. He's going to make it. There's going to be eyeballs on it. Love it or not, there's going to be eyeballs there. But I think that's the refreshing thing. This is why I've always tried to stay right in the middle on the primetime hype and the primetime hate is because there is a guy behind all that does grind and that does expect he wants to keep players accountable. And I don't think that's not from you. You talk about it, but there's a lot of haters out there that don't see that kind of thing enough.
Yeah. And the one thing, you know, if you, and I know you did, you know, when you follow Coach Prime back from his playing career up to now, the one thing you never heard about him was he's lazy, you know,
yeah.
And you know, that's kind of the funny thing about the current narrative by some now is that, oh, he's a lazy recruiter. And I don't think it's lazy to go get transfer portal. You still got to work hard to get those guys. I think it's just a different way of doing it. But he's never been pinned as a guy that's lazy. And he's always been a guy that he puts in the work to be great, whether that was as a player, now as a coach. You know, he's doing those things. And it might be a different way of going about it, but he's putting in the work.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, man. I've tried to talk about this a lot. There are certain things that I love about this human, and there are certain things that I'm certainly scratching my head about, no doubt, and I'm sure we'll continue to have that back and forth throughout next season as well. Brian, my man, I'm sure you're going to be busting it, getting us all the information on transfer portal stuff, guys coming and going.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. And, you know, how you get asked, how do you keep up with all this stuff? And I said, I have no idea. You know, I got spread going and, you know, figuring out who's coming, who's going. And, you know, even as I was writing the story, one guy went in the portal this morning. I'm writing the story, and then I see it pop up that another guy's going in. I'm like, oh, better add this guy to the story. So it happens frequently, and, you know, we'll see. It's not going to slow down for a little while because – Now they got to add players too.
Yeah. Well, this is why I love having you on and writers that do the grind. People ask me, how do you keep up? And my answer is I don't. Brian Howell does, man. So I appreciate you grinding and getting that information out there and then setting us straight a little bit, giving us some more details as to why a certain player's going. So that's why you're the best, my man.
I appreciate it. We'll happy to do it anytime.
All right, let's do it again soon. I promise. Brian Howell, Buff Zone. I think it's encouraging for Buffs fans to hear that because you just see a name like Cormani McClain and you go, whoa, you're losing a former five-star guy? Well, it sounds like he wasn't willing to do the little things. He wasn't willing to work. He wasn't willing to grind. Let's talk about that, though. Let's unpack it on the other side. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I think it's fascinating, Angel. I really do. The primetime stuff, I am not one of those guys that's anti-primetime. I'm also not one of those guys that's like, primetime can do no wrong. I think the truth with this guy truly is somewhere in the middle. However, I don't love the fact that he's going on podcasts saying this is where his sons will play and this is where Travis Hunter will play. That is, at the end of the day, he's the head coach of a college football team. And he's acting like dad more than the head coach of a college football team. So I don't love that. There are a couple of things that I'm not nuts about. I know I joked about the dinner and I got roasted by Buffs fans for that. I still think it's ridiculous. Pay $30,000 to watch primetime eat a steak. If you can't sit at his table, it's 20 and you can be within earshot of him chewing. I think just the optics of it are weird to me. But what Brian Howell just told us about the Cormani McClain thing, people just initially see, hey, a former five-star recruit is leaving. Oh, wow. If you're not Travis Hunter or Shador or Shiloh, then you don't get the superstar treatment. That's where people go. And listen, my guess is he does push those guys. He pushes those three. I'm guessing he pushes them just as hard. It just doesn't seem like it because they're also out creating this image for themselves. It's hard for people to chew on. So I'm not denying that there are a lot of issues with primetime, but is it something where everything he does is on purpose? Everything he does to create this primetime image is on purpose. Let's discuss that more on the other side. We got the top story of the day right around the corner. Nico Medved's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. CSU head basketball coach just signed an extension. He ain't going anywhere. And that's great news for the Colorado State Rams. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.